Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitraketu Meets the Lord, text number 58. Laveha Manushim Yonim Jnana Zigyana Sambhavan Atmanam Yo Na Budyeta Na Kwachit Shemam Apnuyat. Loved Veha Manushim Yonim Jnana Vijnana Sambhavan Atmanam Yona Budyeta Na Kwachit Shemam Apnuyat. Ladveha Manushim Yonim. Jnana Vijnana Sambhavam. Atmanam Yona Budyeta. Na Kwachit Shemam Apnuyat. Ladva, achieving. Iha, in this material world, especially in this pious land of Bharatvarsha, India. Manushim, the human. Yonim, species. Jnana, of knowledge through Vedic scriptures. Vijnana, and practical application of that knowledge in life. Sambhavam, wherein there is a possibility. Atmanam, one's real identity. Yaha, anyone who. Na, not. Budyeta, understands. Na, never. Kwachit, at any time. Shemam, success in life. Apnuyat, can obtain. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A human being can obtain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position but does not understand his self is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted to life in the higher planetary systems. Purport. This statement is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya says, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manusha Janma Yar Janma Sartaka Kari Kara Para Upakar. Everyone born in India, especially as a human being, can achieve the supreme success through the Vedic literature and its practical application in life. As one is perfect, when one is perfect, he can render a service for the self-realization of the entire human society. This is the best way to perform humanitarian work. Text 69. Remembering the great trouble found in the field of activities performed for fruitive results, and remembering how one receives the result reverse of the results one desires, whether from material actions or from the fruit of activities recommended in the Vedic literatures, an intelligent man should cease from the desire for fruit of actions. For by such endeavors, one cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. On the other hand, if one acts without desires for fruity results, in other words, if one engages in devotional activities, he can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. Considering this, one should cease from material desires. As a husband and wife, a man and woman plan together to obtain happiness and decrease happiness, working jointly in many ways, but because their activities are full of desires, these activities are never a source of happiness, and they never diminish distress. On the contrary, they are the cause of great unhappiness. One should understand that the activities of a person who are proud of the material experience bring only results contradictory to those such persons conceive while awake, sleeping, and deeply sleeping. One should further understand that the spirit soul, although very difficult for the materialist to perceive, is above all these conditions, and by the strength of one's discrimination, one should give up the desire for fruit results in the present life and in the next. Thus, becoming experienced in transcendental knowledge, one should become my devotee. Persons who try to reach the ultimate goal of life must expertly observe the Supreme Absolute Person and the living entity who are in quality, one in quality in their relationship as part and whole. This is the ultimate goal, ultimate understanding of life. There is no better truth than this. O King, if you accept this conclusion of mine, being unattached to material enjoyment, adhering to me with great faith, and thus becoming proficient and fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life, you achieve the highest perfection by obtaining it. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, after thus instructing Chitraketu and assuring him of perfection in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Supreme Soul, Sankarshan, disappeared from that place as Chitraketu looked on. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Supreme Lord. It's chapter 17. Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu. So this is the summary given at the beginning of the chapter. The 17th chapter is summarized as follows. This chapter describes Chitraketu's receiving the body of an asura or demon because of joking with Lord Shiva. After personally talking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Chitraketu enjoyed life in his airplane with the women of the Vidyadhara planet. Engaging in the congregational chanting of the glories of the Lord, he began flying his plane and traveling in outer space. One day while traveling like this, he wandered into the bowers of Sumeru Mountain, where he came upon Lord Shiva embracing Parvati, surrounded by an assembly of siddhas, sharanas, and great sages. Seeing Lord Shiva in that situation, Chitraketu laughed very loudly, but Parvati became very angry at him and cursed him. Because of this curse, Chitraketu later appeared as the demon Vritrasura. Chitraketu, however, was not at all afraid of Parvati's curse, and thus he spoke as follows, quote, everyone in human society enjoys happiness and distress according to his past deeds, and in this way travels in the material world. Therefore, no one is responsible for his happiness and distress. One is controlled by the influence of material nature and the material world, yet one thinks himself the doer of everything. In this material world, which is made of the external energy of the Supreme Lord, one is sometimes cursed and sometimes favored, and thus he sometimes enjoys in the upper planetary systems and sometimes suffers in the lower planets. But all these situations are the same because they are within this material world. None of these positions has any factual existence, for all of them are temporary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller because the material world is created, maintained, and annihilated under his control, while he nonetheless remains neutral to these different transformations of the material world in time and space. The material energy, external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in charge of this material world. The Lord helps the world by creating situations for the living entity within it. When Chitraketu spoke in this way, all the members in the great assembly in which Lord Shiva and Lord Parvati and Parvati were present were astonished. Then Lord Shiva began speaking about the devotees of the Lord. A devotee is neutral in all conditions of life, whether in the heavenly planets or in the hellish planets, whether liberated from the material world or conditioned by it, and whether blessed with happiness or subjected to distress. These are all merely dualities created by the external energy. Being influenced by the external energy, the living entity accepts the gross and subtle material body, and in its illusory position he apparently suffers miseries, although everyone is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The so-called demigods consider themselves independent lords, and in this way they are misled from understanding that all living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme. This chapter concludes by glorifying the devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 1. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, after offering obeisances to the direction from which Ananta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had disappeared, Chitraketu began traveling out of space as the head of the Vidyadharas. Being praised by the great sages and saints, and by the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and Charanaloka, Chitraketu, the most powerful mystic yogi, wandered about enjoying life for millions of years. With bodily strength and senses free from deterioration, he traveled within the valley of Sumeru Mountain, which is the place of perfection for various kinds of mystic power. In those valleys he enjoyed life with the women of Vidyadhara Loka by chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari. Purport is to be understood that Maharaj Chitraketu, although surrounded by the beautiful women from Vidyadhara Loka, did not forget to glorify the Lord by chanting the holy name of the Lord. It has been proved in many places that one who is not contaminated by any material condition, who is a pure devotee engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord, should be understood to be perfect. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. From these verses we can understand that one who desires to become a lord of the material world, then he becomes a servant of the material world. He becomes more and more degraded and more bound up by the reactions of his fruitive activities. On the other hand, we find someone like Chitraketu Maharaj. He had no desire to enjoy the material world because he was conscious of Krishna in the spiritual world. Therefore, he achieved power, all kinds of mystic power, so much so that he was not disturbed even the association of the opposite sex. Therefore it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yatra paramate chitam niruda yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashan natmani tushati. That stage of perfection is called trance samadhi, when one's mind is completely withdrawn from all material mental activities by the practice of yoga. And this is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in that self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks that there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the greatest difficulty. This is indeed actual freedom from all material miseries arising from material contact. So sometimes we think of misery as something like one is walking in the forest and some lion comes along and attacks one. We take that as being miserable. But if we hear of a young boy and a young girl going to the forest, and it's spring, and we think, oh, this is very nice. How romantic. But actually, this is just as miserable, or not perhaps just as miserable, but it is also miserable. Material desire, as we heard in the other verses, is the cause of our misery. It is that not that we're suffering simply because we have a gross and subtle body. We're suffering primarily because we're desiring material sense gratification, which ultimately results in fruitive activities. And as long as one is in this consciousness, it is said, Paravas tavat abodha jata yavane jignasita atmatatvam tavan kriya. Let's get the next one. Kriyan sabandha. You know, as long as one is engaged in fruitive activities, then is one is said to be defeated, because such fruitive activities cover one's consciousness, and as long as the consciousness is covered by fruitive activities, the mind is unclear, and if the mind is unclear, then one has to accept another material body. I was in Uncom. There was one book that came out. Some British people wrote a book, something about sex life. No, I'm sorry, we're British, or something like that. So it said in according to the scientific studies, when they find that people are engage in sex life, they're experiencing the same type of distress that people under great anxiety are experiencing. The same increase in heart and blood pressure, etc. In other words, scientifically, they've discovered that sex life is just as distressful as distress. Although it's advertised in the material world as the all-in-all, the everything, but still, actually, it is simply the cause of misery for the living entity. Not only is sex life miserable, but although one is covered by the illusory entity, still, one has to have a child for so long, one has to suffer, because the woman generally suffers a little bit more. And then after the child is born, then the man has to suffer, because he has to maintain the family for so many years. As Hari Kesha Maharaj was saying in one class, the little bundles of joy. One has to maintain the little bundle of joy until it goes, wah, wah, in the middle of the night when it starts screaming. So as we mentioned, one lady, because nowadays people become more and more demoniac, so their standard of, they don't appreciate these little bundles of joy anymore, especially when they scream. So one lady, when her child was screaming, she suffocated it, as we've mentioned before. And so when she was brought before the court, she said, I couldn't sleep at night because it was screaming. So the judge let her go because he said that sleep is very necessary. So it is not all peaches and cream in the material world. So here we find that one who's undisturbed in any condition, he's called Dhira. One who can, and Dhira can be achieved most easily if one actually is able to focus his consciousness upon Krishna. If one actually enters into the consciousness of Krishna, because there's a transcendental television in everyone's heart, and if one, that television actually becomes clearer and clearer, if one is able to focus in on the pastimes of Krishna, and what to speak of feeling Krishna's presence, the transcendental feeling, the transcendental exchanges of love between Krishna and his devotees, then one will not be disturbed under any circumstance, mainly because one's consciousness will be merged on another platform of existence. So here it says it's not, what is that criteria to come to that platform? In Bhagavad Gita it says, na prari shet priyam prapya, no dwi jet chapita priyam, stira budhira samudo, brahmavid brahmani stitaha, na prari shet priyam prapya. One who doesn't become joyful when he obtains so-called something that's pleasant in the material world. Jai Shri Shri Gorni Thai Ki Jai, Lord Jagannath Lord Baladev Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Ki Jai. In other words, one who doesn't become thinking, well, finally Krishna gave me what I wanted and now I don't need Krishna anymore. That one who's undisturbed, he doesn't take a pleasant material situation as being his goal, he takes thinking of Krishna as being his goal. And who's undisturbed even in a difficult situation. Here, Trichaketu Maharaj, he seemingly had everything. He was the king of the Vidyadharas, all mystic power. He had all these beautiful women. They were traveling all over the universe. And suddenly, he was cursed to become a demon. So he could have said, I mean, I just laughed. I mean, it wasn't so bad. Maybe you can, you know, withdraw the curse a little bit. No, he was completely undisturbed because the level of consciousness that he was on, it didn't make any difference for him. He didn't take his bodily and mental situation as being all in all, or we should say at least his bodily external situation as being the all in all, because he knew in any circumstance I can think of Krishna. Therefore it doesn't really matter. Of course we can't imitate that because we can't think of Krishna in any circumstance. Nor are we thinking of Krishna so deeply and so intensely that we're actually experiencing the transcendental level of existence, the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Therefore we have to begin by practicing not to become elated when there is some pleasant situation. For instance, if we have to sit down for prasadam, we shouldn't think, now my life has become successful. There's something to eat. I don't need Krishna anymore. I can take shelter in the food. And therefore everything will be all right, at least for a little while. No, but one should actually taking prasadam, for instance, as service to Krishna and not forget Krishna, even while one is eating. And after eating too much, then we're in distress, thinking my life is a failure, I'm suffering. So even in that situation, one should still think of Krishna. That one has to practice thinking of Krishna both in success and in failure. When one obtains something pleasant or not so pleasant. And sthira buddhir, one's intelligence should remain steady. We shouldn't think, well, if everything goes all right, then there must be a God. And if everything goes wrong, then there couldn't be a God, because how is it possible that he could put such a nice person as myself into difficulty? What's the point? Sthira Buddha Asamuda, one who's not bewildered in any circumstance, Brahmavid, who actually understands things transcendentally, not just blindly thinking, yes, I'll accept this Krishna consciousness philosophy until I burst, until I explode in frustration, and then I'll scream a few times and who knows what I'm going to do. That one actually has to factually realize what Krishna consciousness is. It's not simply some theory or some blind philosophy that we're supposed to follow. It can actually be understood deeply. And the more one enters into that understanding, the more everything becomes clear, then one is called Brahmavid. He's fixed in transcendental knowledge. Brahmastitaha. And what is the symptoms? Naprarishya priyam prapya. Then it says, that such a person, he's situated in transcendence. He doesn't consider happiness and that would be too easy. Bayas parshe visatatma vidyat yatmini yat sukham sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Bayas parshe. Baya means external. Sparshe means in the sense objects. Bayas parshe visatatma. Vindat yatmini yat sukham. He doesn't take shelter in the external sense objects or in sense gratification, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, a self-realized soul can enjoy unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So that ability to concentrate upon Krishna, that will determine whether we become attracted by sense objects or we're aloof from them. The more one is able to concentrate on the Supreme, on Krishna, in full Krishna consciousness, then the more one's attraction to sense objects decreases. Material attraction. Therefore, one has to practice not becoming disturbed. Because everyone, it's not that we can immediately suddenly focus our minds and see the pastimes of Krishna within ourselves. But it says, the six Goswamis, Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nativi Kolola Sanikrito Vidyahara Vihara Kari Nirito Chatyantya Dino Chayo Radha Krishna Gunasmritera Madhurima Nandena Samohito Pande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalago. The six Goswamis are able to give up eating and sleeping. It wasn't they were thinking that this is really tough, but we have to set the example. That what will people think in the future if we eat? So we have to give up eating and sleeping. No, they weren't suffering, being tortured by, you know, constantly meditating how they're doing such a sacrifice for Krishna. Because they're able to do that because they're always engaged in regulated devotional service. They're always chanting their rounds, bowing down, schedule measurement. And in this way, they were completely enchanted by the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It is said that Raghunath Das Goswami, he'd eat a little bit of buttermilk every other day. Of course, we can say that the buttermilk was a lot better than the buttermilk that we have nowadays. But still, he'd just eat a little bit of it every other day. But actually, if one could look inside his heart and see what he was doing, he was enjoying three big sumptuous meals in Goloka Vrindavan every day. He was having a big feast. So it wasn't that he was being tortured by not eating, but actually he was enjoying, Goloka Vrindavan. So we have to also try to make an attempt to go to the spiritual platform of consciousness, and on that platform we won't be disturbed, even in the so-called greatest difficulty, which is ultimately death, because the ultimate misery that everyone has to experience is dying. If you have, you know, here 50,000 Belgium francs, and then suddenly you put your wallet down on the table, take out a tissue to blow your nose with, and finally when you go to pick up your wallet again, it's gone. So of course one would feel great remorse that suddenly I lost this. But what to speak when you have to lose your body and everything else connected with it? How much suffering that is due to our attachment to it. How many people would think, oh, so I'm losing my body, I'll get another one, no problem. Just like the demigods, they came to one sage, and they said, my dear sage, we'd like your body because we'd like to make one thunderbolt out of it to kill some demons with it. So he said, all right, here, take my body, no problem. So if the demigods came to us and said, my dear Bhakti so-and-so, we'd like your body because we'd like to make something from it. Yeah, sure, take my body, no problem. One has to be quite detached at the time of death not to feel distress. Dhira tatra namuyati. So even in the greatest difficulty, not to be disturbed, what to speak of even the greatest accomplishment, getting everything we want, so to speak. So to be undisturbed, one has to enter deeply into Krishna consciousness, and that's possible by practice. By developing patiently practicing, understanding how to hear. That's principle we're trying to do, is learn how to hear. And then by hearing, one can actually get transcendental enlightenment and transcendental happiness by hearing about the wonderful activities of Krishna and his pastimes in the material world and ultimately in the spiritual world. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he traveled all of the universe. He was undisturbed even in the association of beautiful women. And as we find out, he was undisturbed even when everything was lost. He had everything one moment, and the next moment he had nothing. But still he was undisturbed because he was always in Krishna Loka with Krishna, enjoying transcendental pastimes. And we can also do that even in this body, even in this lifetime. But it's possible by practicing, constantly trying to withdraw the mind back from Krishna, in spite of the fact that it constantly leaves thoughts of Krishna and goes on to other subjects. Therefore it says, Shanara Shanara Uparama Buddhya Driti Grihitaya Atma Samstamana Kritva Nakinchit Atmakit Nakinchit Atmichintaya. Gradually, with full conviction, one should steady the mind by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should think of the self alone and nothing else. So it is really up to us how much progress we make. It is not determined by our circumstances as much as it's determined by ourselves. How much seriously we're trying to constantly focus the mind upon Krishna under all circumstances. How much we're trying to remember Krishna's name specifically, and then his form, his quality, his activities. How much we're doing that will determine how much we actually make progress in Krishna consciousness. And when the mind wanders, yatotra paramite chitam, let's see, what's the first word? Tato yatato nischalati manak chanchalamastiram tatas tato niyam yaitat atman evana shamnayat. From wherever the mind wanders to, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should withdraw it and bring it back into Krishna consciousness again. So if we do that, then gradually our life will become perfect and we won't be disturbed by any circumstance. And if we try and think, oh, there's some other way of becoming happy and peaceful here in the material world, then we'll remain disturbed here under all circumstances. That is the only method of becoming undisturbed in the material world, is to think of Krishna. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yeah. No, I mean the mind has to think of Krishna. The central focus is the mind. And the body, it can't be engaged in something other than Krishna's service. Apparently he was a demon. But he started to preach to Indra about devotional service. You met too many demons who preach to you about devotional service? When you're about to bloop, they go, no, don't do that, you know. You're wasting your time. It's enough that I'm a demon. We have enough of them here. You should stay a devotee. Spread this Krishna consciousness. Get out there and distribute some books. You met too many demons like that? Apparently he was a demon, but he was a pure devotee. How many demons, when they're killed, they go back to Krishna Loka? I mean, how many demons preach Krishna consciousness, and then when they're being killed, they think of Krishna's pastimes? He wasn't a demon at all.
This is preached by quite some people. Yeah, and I don't mind my external activities, but what I'm doing inside, that's what really counts.
But what you're doing inside will be shown by what you're doing outside. Because we work not with our intelligence, with our body, but we work with our intelligence and mind. Therefore, at least partially, you can see what a person is thinking about by what he does. Actions speak louder than words. Yes.
Well,
Well, that's intelligent. It's not that you have to. Intelligence doesn't mean that I know how to lord it over the material world and manipulate things here. Intelligence means just to accept Krishna consciousness. It's not that if you go to one of the gopis in the spiritual world, and you ask her, what is your opinion on the stock market? And she says, well, I shouldn't tell you, but, this company I think will progress pretty soon. And it's not that they have that type of intelligence. Their intelligence is that they're always thinking of Krishna. They don't waste their time in anything else. So when we have that type of intelligence, then our life is perfect. When we just accept the fact that my real goal in life is to focus my mind on Krishna and give my love to him. That's pure intelligence. At least they should know who Krishna is. Who's Krishna? Well, yeah, I think he has four heads. Or as long as they know who Krishna is, it's all right. And also they should know who Lord Jagannath is and Lord Baladev. Yes. Niyatra paramite chitam niruda yoga sevya. That state of perfection is called trance samadhi, when one's mind is fully, completely fixed in self-realization. And that joyous state, when it's fixed in transcendent, balanced transcendental happiness, and enjoys itself through transcendental senses. That verse. I don't know, sure. Yeah. No, we can't identify our conditioned state. Even though we're conditioned, still we have the free will to think of Krishna. So we have to, according to our spiritual strength, with determination, put the mind on Krishna. So that requires determination to do that. So if we have that much faith to take shelter of Krishna, then gradually our spiritual strength will increase. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.